I don't think we've even seen the tip of the iceberg. I think the potential of what the internet is going to do to society, both good and bad, is unimaginable. I think we're actually on the cusp of something exhilarating and terrifying.
It's just a tool, though, isn't it?
No, it's not. No. No, it's an alien life form.
What do you think, I mean, when you think then about the
future... Is there life on Mars? Yes, it's just landed here.
But that's, yeah. It's a simply a different delivery system there. You're arguing about something more profound.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about the actual context and the state of content is going to be so different to anything that we can really envisage at the moment, where the interplay between the user and the provider will be so in simpatico. It's going to crush our ideas of what mediums are all about.
So like David Bowie, I'm not a technologist, and this room is full of technologists. That's a disclaimer. I hope I'm a tenth as good as him when it comes to predicting the future of a new technology. My background is in chemistry, and I went on to become a photograph conservator. I worked for a couple decades here at the Getty, down the hill from here. And a year and a half ago, I went down a blockchain rabbit hole, and I've been staying there ever since, happily. So neither Chris nor I have a background in the entertainment industry. When we first talked about creating blockchain industry consortium, he wanted to do it for mobility, and I wanted to do for intellectual property. And neither one of us knew it was going to work. He mentioned we launched May 2nd of last year in Dubai, and over the first weekend, we had over 200 news articles in multiple languages. So it was pretty exhilarating. And now that we know the model works for Mobi, we would like to do it for Dream. And the World Economic Forum has enlisted us to write a toolkit for industry blockchain consortium. So the first successful blockchain application that I came across was on the food supply chain of Walmart. I know it's not the sexiest thing, right? But so it's not the fact that it's a food supply chain that I found intriguing. It's the problem that is solved that I find very sexy. So if you look at this image up here, you can tell that the food supply chain is extremely complicated, with many people contributed to the package of spinach that you get at the end of the day. And so the CEO of Walmart had a meeting and asked all the executives in the room, there's a box of spinach, please go find out where it was from, who processed it, and who sold it. All the executives left the room. It came back almost a week later, 6 days, 10 hours, to find out the answers. And during that time, a lot could have happened that Walmart would be liable for. So then fast forward 6 months later, Walmart has put their food supply chain on blockchain, and he asked the same question, this time with a box of mango, and executives left the room, came back in within 10 hours to find out the answers for him. So to me, that's a really sexy problem that they can solve. And that was really early on. This is like a year, 2 years ago that this happened. So since then, blockchain actually has increased in usability, and this is a lot faster to do now. And in the future, I think we can do it as a blink of an eye. So the question a lot of us ask is, why use blockchain instead of a regular database? And a regular database is fine if you have a relationship of one to many. For example, Nordstrom reward system. You have one retailer to all of us that goes into that system. But however, when you have a data set that is contributed by many people like this, it's extremely complicated to verify and reconcile all that data. And building the database is the cheapest thing that you can do. It's reconciling and paying the lawyers and the accountants. That's the most expensive part of the database. And that could be a million times more than building the database itself. So this is why blockchain is suitable for when you have a data set of from many to many. And And this example here for food supply chain, technically it's a physical object that you're trying to track digitally. So you're creating a digital twin of something. And to me, that's a much harder problem to track than of something that's natively digital to begin with, like a song, a digital photograph, or a movie. So the key concept for blockchains that I think are really good for intellectual property are these two things here. The first one is transparency, traceability, and authenticity. The ability to track the entire life cycle of an asset, a digital asset, either is physical or digital. And authenticity is extremely important in this day and age. Recently, I read a report by a security firm called Imperva, and according to them, 52% of traffic on the internet is by bots. So they are outnumbered humans right now with traffic on the internet. And of that 52%, 56%, so more than half, is malicious. And then only 44% is actually helpful bots. So the bad guy is winning. They inching over us. So blockchain has the ability to be able to trace authenticity, which is important to the next thing, which is smart contract, and we have heard of a few times today. And smart contract will not be possible without authenticity and provenance. And smart contract essentially is just programming code stored in a blockchain that can perform specific action under specific circumstances. Essentially, it's a domino effect that we're going for. So blockchain doesn't discriminate. It doesn't care if you're a movie, a song, or a digital photograph, or a technical paper. In the end, if it's a digital file with smart contract built into it on a blockchain, it can become its own business. It can go out in the world as such and communicate and negotiate with other people, with the consumer. And the beauty of that is that you can have an expiration date. So once a contract expires, it can self-delete. Also, if a user violates the agreement, it can also self-delete. one other thing, I teach a lot, and I have taught a lot in art conservation in Middle East and Eastern Europe and in Asia, in places that English is not the first language. And in art conservation, we write a lot of condition report of artwork. And these condition report is essentially the contract between one museum versus another, or between an artist versus a museum or a gallery. And then along the way, the people that pack up the art, transport the art, there's a lot of condition report. And these are contracts that used to be written in essay format that could be pages and pages and pages long. And I think, to be serious, it's the more expensive the piece of art, I think the longer the contract was. But in the end, when you present this contract to people that English is not their first language, a lot of time they would just stare at you. What are you trying to tell me? What's going on with this painting? What do I need to worry about? And I end up spending a lot of time coming up with checklist decision tree that really distill a 20 pages contract down to maybe a 5 to 6 pages of checklist decision tree. So in the end, I think that was the best and most clear way to communicate, especially when the people don't know what you're talking about and in the language that you don't communicate with each other very easily. So blockchain has the potential to revolutionize the way we track, manage, intellectual property. But as Chris mentioned, this technology only works if we have a network. We gave the email example. I remember in 1992 when I had my first email address, I couldn't email anybody except within my university. And now we can't even imagine doing business without an email address. So now that I mentioned the model for Mobi works, what exactly is the model for Mobi that we want to do for Dream? Mobi is a nonprofit organization. At first, we were toying with either making it for profit or nonprofit. And we went for nonprofit based on the fact that if you do it nonprofit, you can bring in NGOs, you can bring in foundation, and you can bring in many people, and you create essentially a neutrality, a trusted entity that everybody can come and sit at the table and talk how to move forward. And this come to the second point. At first, we will worry, how do we get people that has a big company like a Ford, a BMW, with a small startup to sit at the same table? Would they all listen to each other? And it turned out we didn't have to worry. The big companies actually want the small companies to have the same seat at the same table because they want to listen to them and hear what they have to say. And the third thing is that we are technology agnostic, which is important. We're not here to tell you what technology to use. In the end, it's the marketplace that tell you what technology to use. We are only here to help you facilitate coming up with standards. And the standards happen when you decide what use cases you're going to have. And by standards, I don't say anything. It's not programming standards that we're trying to do. Right now, it's just the application layer standards. For example, before long-distance train travel can happen, you have to agree upon how wide a train track would be, or you will have to stop the train, take off all your belongings, and put it back up on the next train and move it, which did happen until everybody built a train track to be the same gauge. And as mentioned, Chris and I are not in the entertainment industry, so we would not be able to tell you what are the most important use cases for the industry. That would be up to the members of Dream and the steering committee, and these are just some of the possible working groups that I thought might be useful. I think smart contracts is good, and also identity. How do you identify a movie, a digital file, per se? And this is the delivery cycle that we have come up with for Mobi that seemed to be working, and it would be the same for Dream. So it would be members proposed and member driven, and all working groups are nominated, identified by the members, and they would review the technology that's available to solve that problem and develop solutions and bring it up to standardization and ongoing maintenance, testing, and toward the end, hopefully, certification of the standards. So if you are interested in finding out more, please go to our new website, dreamfoundationfdn.com, and if you want to become a member, it's free. Please fill out an application. Selfless promotion right now, I know.
Tram, thank you so much. Give a round. Chris, thank you as well. Mobi and Dream, moving us into the future.
Yes. First time pitching this.